Man, well, it's great to be here tonight. The genesis of this event was a documentary film that Brother Chris Segura from our church, Faithful Word Baptist Church out in Phoenix, had put together. The documentary was called San Francisco. Who saw that documentary? Put up your hand if you've seen it. Just about everybody has seen it. And so let's give Brother Chris Segura a hand on doing a great job making that documentary. He's the one who actually made it, and we wanted to do an event where we go soul winning in San Francisco. Part of the reason is because, just like California as a whole, sometimes San Francisco could be looked at by outsiders as just, oh, this is just only a place of liberals and weirdos and sodomites, and when in reality, there are a lot of great people in San Francisco, just like there are a lot of great people in the rest of California, and just people in San Francisco that are misguided people, you know. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that tomorrow is going to be a great day of soul winning. I believe that many lives are going to be touched and so forth. Now, if you look down at verse 23 here in chapter 11, this is my text tonight. The Bible reads, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And the title of my sermon tonight is "More Tolerable for Sodom." More, it will be more tolerable for Sodom, he said to Capernaum, in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, obviously, by the time we get to Genesis 19, it's too late for Sodom, all right? If you would, turn back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 18. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 19, the cry of Sodom had gone up to heaven, and God had seen the wickedness of Sodom and just the exceeding sinfulness, the Bible says, and the cry of it had offended God, and he was ready to destroy and wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't see God in that passage sending a prophet to call them to repentance. You know, we don't see him sending a Jonah to them as if they were Nineveh to try to call them to repentance, to try to preach to them and help them. It was just too late. They were done. It's over. And so in Genesis 19, they're already doomed. But, and think about when Lot actually tries to warn a few people, they just laugh at him. You know, they're not interested. The men of the city were men of Belial. The Bible says even from the oldest to the youngest, they were all participating in that wickedness that showed them to be sons of Belial, reprobates. They were doomed. But obviously Sodom was not always filled virtually with nothing but reprobates. No city starts out that way. San Francisco didn't start out the way it is right now. And so obviously, Sodom was on a downward spiral. And when we get there in Genesis chapter 19, that's just the end of that path where they're totally doomed. There was a time when the people of Sodom could have been reached with the gospel. There's a time where the Bible says that if the mighty works that were done in Capernaum would have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So there was a time when those people could have been reached. No one starts out in life as a reprobate. We're not Calvinists, amen? So we don't believe that people are just chosen to be a reprobate. Every reprobate started out as an innocent little baby, and they grew up as a child, and they lived their life, and they went down a dark road, perhaps, that got them to being a reprobate, but they didn't start out that way. It's not God's fault that they are that way. There's a time when they could have been evangelized, they could have believed on the Lord, and they could have been saved. Okay, look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. This is when Abraham is talking to the Lord the day before Sodom gets destroyed, and the Lord reveals to Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom. And of course, Abraham knows that his nephew Lot is in the city, and he doesn't want his nephew Lot to be wiped out. And so he begins to plead with God not to destroy the city. It says in verse 23, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee. to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And of course, that is God's nature, to not want to just destroy the righteous with the wicked. He differentiates between the righteous and the wicked. And so he says, look, if there are 50 righteous, will you not destroy it? But then obviously Abraham gets to thinking, there's not 50 righteous people in that city. You know, he's close enough to Sodom to know there aren't going to be 50. So he begins to grind God down. He's kind of haggling with God. He gets him down to 40, 30, 20. Finally, he gets in verse 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, you know, that I'm haggling with you so much and that I'm grinding you down. But he says, I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now go if you would to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Now I've heard a lot of sermons preaching on this passage as I was growing up. And typically the theme that you'll hear preached from this passage is how Lot completely failed to witness to anyone for the Lord while he was in Sodom. Because we know he was a just man. We know he was a righteous man. He's saved. I mean, he'd been brought up by a really godly man, Abraham. And so you'd expect him to go in there and be an effective witness, an effective soul winner. And the preaching that you'll commonly hear from this passage is that Lot couldn't even reach his own family. Even his own family is messed up. They don't even believe in the Lord. They're not even saved. His own in-laws there aren't saved. It's like he couldn't get anybody saved. He can't even get 10 people saved the whole lifetime that he lives there. And you'll hear that preaching a lot, right? Well, here's the thing about that. We're basically taking that preaching that says, hey, Lot, you know, why didn't you reach 10 people? And then it would have been spared. And we're basically saying, okay, San Francisco is not at the point of Sodom. San Francisco is not at that point. And you know what we're doing? We're getting in there and we're reaching those 10 people. And in fact, we're going to reach the 50 people. We don't want to haggle with God. You know, we'll pay God top dollar here. You know, we want there to be 50 people. So we've heard all this preaching our whole lives, people like Brother Jimenez and myself that grew up as fundamental Baptists. We've heard all this preaching all our lives about, hey, Lot should have reached those people. The city could have been spared. Hey, here's what we're doing. We're reaching the people so the city can be spared. It's exactly what we're doing tomorrow. We're taking that preaching, and instead of just lamenting about Lot, we're going to go do something about it. You know, we want to go and create that righteous remnant in the city that it might be spared, okay? Now, look down at your Bible in John 12, verse 37. And remember, our text verse tonight in Matthew 11 said, hey, if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Look at verse 37 of chapter 12. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So this verse relates to Matthew 11 because it talks about mighty works being done before them, right? Hey, if the mighty works would have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. By contrast, the mighty works are being done before the Jews, and in many cases, they're not believing on him. So they're, in that sense, doing worse than Sodom. That's why he said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than it will be for you. Verse 38 says, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then for those that are skeptical of the reprobate doctrine, look at verse 39, therefore they could not believe. Why? Because that Isaiah said again, he blinded their eyes. Who blinded their eyes? God. He blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So we see here's a group of people amongst the Jews that they saw all these mighty works. They saw the miracles. They heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still didn't get saved, and they got turned over to a reprobate mind. They were given over to where their eyes were blinded, their hearts were darkened, and so forth. And in fact, hell is going to be hotter for them than the literal residents of, you want to talk about Sodomites, the original Sodomites, okay? He said hell is going to be even hotter for this group in John chapter 12. The lesson with that, and if you would flip over to Lamentations chapter 4 in the Old Testament. There's a little tiny book nestled in there between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So you got the big books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations is tucked in there between. If we fail to reach the people of San Francisco with the gospel, if we fail to get in there and create that righteous remnant, their fate will be worse than the fate of Sodom. Folks, in 2020 in the United States of America, people are hearing the gospel way more. People are hearing the word of God way more. People have no excuse way more than they did in the town of Sodom. And if they don't get the gospel, if they don't get saved, their fate will be worse, because unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Look what the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 5. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dung hills. Now look, this reminds us of San Francisco, because we're thinking about people being desolate in the streets, people just kind of laying in the street, laying in the gutter. They're shooting up drugs in the BART station, right? And if you've seen the documentary, you know exactly what I'm talking about when it says that they embrace dung hills. And then look what it says in verse 6. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. Judah was punished worse than Sodom. Now that shouldn't surprise us, because what did Jesus say in Matthew 11? He said, look, Capernaum, look, Jews, look, people in the Palestine region. It's going to be worse for you. Heard me preach. I'm Jesus. You know, you heard me preach in person, he's saying. You've seen the miracles. If Sodom would have had this, they would have remained unto this day. It's going to be more tolerable for them than you. And that's why in Lamentations chapter 4, he says, hey, the punishment of my people in Judah is worse than the punishment of Sodom itself. And I'm telling you something. The punishment in the U.S. is going to be worse than the punishment of Sodom, because the U.S. has been given way more than Sodom was given. Okay, we have the New Testament. We have the whole Bible. It's on every bookstore. It's in every corner. I guarantee you that the people in San Francisco have heard more than the Sodom residents heard, and so they're going to be held accountable. So we want to go down there and compel them to come in. We want to go down there and get as many of them saved and persuade them to be saved. You say, well, they've heard a lot. Why don't they make their choice? Hey, we want to pull them out of the fire. We want to persuade them, okay? Look, if you would, at Amos chapter 4. So a little bit to the right in your Bible toward the New Testament, you get in the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Look at Amos chapter 4. Now listen, today, even secular news articles have nothing to do with biblical logic or biblical reasoning. Even they will report today that San Francisco is a city in decline. That's the term that they'll use. San Francisco is a city in decline. You know, we made that film where we showed just all of the feces in the street, all the excrement, and the dung, and the ridiculous amount of hypodermic needles that are being handed out and littered in the streets and all these different things. And we showed all that stuff. But you know what? That film has not become outdated or irrelevant since it was released a few months ago, because the news stories keep coming out, even since the film was released, saying there's even more poop in the streets. It's even dirtier, if you can imagine. You know, it's getting even worse. Don't worry, we're not going to go to those. We have that app. There's an app that helps you steer clear of all the human waste and everything. We're going to deploy that app, okay? So, yeah, everybody download it right now. No, I'm sure. Anyway, is that on that little handout you gave with the time to meet and everything? Did you put, like, where to go in the app store to get the feces finder or whatever it's called? I don't know what it's called. That's a good name for it, though. That rolls off the tongue. But the point is, you know, this city, worldly people are even looking at the city and saying, what can we do to fix this mess, this dung hole? San Francisco is on a bobsled to hell, okay? Spiritually, we know that. But even the world can see God's not blessing this place. This is not the blessing of God. This place has seen better days, even in the world's eyes and the world's standards. Look what the Bible says in Amos chapter 4, verse 10. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Pestilence means disease. And of course, that's applicable. And by the way, let me say this. You know, we know that they're already dealing with disease there because of all the STDs that have been sent to plague them, and because of all the excrement in the streets and other sources of just unsanitation and disease. But you know what? They ought to be shaking in their boots about the coronavirus coming into Chinatown and just spreading throughout San Francisco, because you know what? It's not like God's going to protect them if they're going to keep up their wickedness. God sends the pestilence many times. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. He said, look, I have made your camp, I have made your town, I have made your city stink. Yeah. And let me tell you something, San Francisco in many areas today literally smells like a dirty restroom. One giant is the world's largest outdoor restroom. He said, look, I made the stink of your camps to come in your nostrils. Why? Because he wants the people of San Francisco to know that's what your sin smells like to me. You know, you want to do all this sin and the filthiness of your fornication and the sodomy, or even just the adultery, the robbery, the porno, whatever. He says, look, you want to commit all this sin, which is a stink in my nostrils. He said, I'm going to make your city literally smell the way it smells to me. Amen. Smells like a dirty toilet. Smells like a restroom. You know, that's how God feels about our sin and the sins of a wicked city. He said, I made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Why? To give them a physical representation of how he feels about them spiritually and their lifestyle. He says, I've made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That could be said of San Francisco right now. It's like God has made the stink of their camp come up in their nostrils. He's not blessing them. He sent all kinds of problems. They're in decline. Things are going bad there. Okay. But have they returned unto him? Have they turned back? No, they haven't, right? Even though I did that, he's saying, you haven't returned to me. And so what I want to point out is that what they are experiencing right now is just the beginning. It's a shot across the bow. It's God's warning. I mean, what's the purpose of Amos chapter 4? God's pleading with people to get right. And I believe God today wants San Francisco to get right. He wants people to be saved. He wants the Christians in San Francisco to get serious about serving God. Yeah, we know there are probably a bunch of people. I'll bet you that every single team of soul winners tomorrow is going to run into people that are saved. Every team. Because I guarantee you there are a whole bunch of people that are already saved in San Francisco. But you know what? It's not enough just to be saved and on your way to heaven and let everybody around you go to hell. All right? We need some people in San Francisco to get fired up. Hopefully us being there can bring some revival to the people that are already saved. And you say, hey, I went soul winning in San Francisco. I didn't get anybody saved. Yeah, but maybe you revived some dead Christian. Because maybe if some dead Christian gets his door knocked by a fired up soul winner, maybe when he shuts the door and sits down in his house, he's going to stop and think, why isn't that me out there? Why did someone just come to my door with the gospel? Why am I not out being a light in the darkness? Okay, so when you're soul winning, we're not just winning people to Christ. We're also motivating the watered down Christians to get their butts in gear and do something. Okay. And so, you know, we need to go down there and be a light and light a fire under the dead Christians down there also. Because what's happening right now is just the shot across the bow. It's the warning where God's saying, look, people, I've made your camp stink. You haven't returned unto me. Get right. Get right. Now look at verse 11 of Amos chapter 4. It says in verse 11, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And that's what we see in San Francisco, that God has overthrown some of them. God will continue to overthrow some of them. We know the AIDS epidemic went through there in the 80s and wiped a bunch of people out. We know that people today are suffering the consequences of sin. They're being punished by God in that area. God overthrew some of them as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. But then he says, you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. And what the Bible is saying there, even in a city where God's punishing people, even in a city where God's bringing judgment and where he's even likening that judgment to the judgment of Sodom, there are still firebrands that can be plucked out of the burning in that city. And that's what we're there to do, right? Because it says in Jude, of some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Even in a city like San Francisco, where you look at it and you say, man, this city is doomed. This city is messed up. This city is full of sin. It's becoming a literal cesspool. We see God overthrowing it, and you just wonder, man, is God just going to send an earthquake and the whole thing's just going to break off and just go underwater or something and just be consumed in a moment? But you know what? We can still pluck some firebrands out of the fire. Says in Amos chapter 4. We can still pull people out of the fire. We can have compassion, and we can save some with fear. You know, I bet a lot of people are surprised by the fact that we're doing this event. Some people are probably like, oh, San Francisco, Soul Winning Marathon? You know, and part of that is just because the preachers in this room tonight are misunderstood preachers. Right. Pastor Roger Jimenez, Pastor Bruce Mejia, and myself, we are misunderstood. And here's the proof. We're considered hate leaders, or we're a hate group, or, you know, you guys are just such hateful people. But you know what? Actually, we are filled with compassion. What, you know what? Hate does not get me up in the morning. It doesn't. I don't just like lay in bed and I'm just like, oh man, it's time to get out there and I'm going to kick some butt today. Yeah. Oh, I hate the devil. Oh, I hate queers. Ah! That's not how I wake up in the morning. Hate doesn't get me up in the morning. All right. Now look, hate does have a place in my life. You know, Pastor Jimenez has this part of his heart carved out for hate. You know, and in his mind. And you know what? Hey, there's a time to love and a time to hate. Amen. You know, we want to have a balanced view of the world, a balanced view of the Word of God. And there's a time for these things. But let me tell you something. The thing that motivates us way more is love. Amen. Love is what gets me up in the morning. Amen. Love is what motivates us. Love is the engine that keeps us moving forward in the Christian life. Day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Hey, this event is about loving the lost. Because you know what? I don't hate the people of San Francisco. Now, I do hate a certain segment of the population. They're a bunch of pedophiles and weirdos, okay? But let me tell you something. I love the people of San Francisco, and I'm going tomorrow on a love trip to San Francisco, all right? So you know what? Put a flower in my hair, and let's get in the Volkswagen bus, and let's go to San Francisco, because we love people. We're there to make love, not war, amen? No, just kidding. Anyway, I'm just saying, look, folks, we're not out there to spread hate in the streets of San Francisco. I'm sure if anyone reported on what we do tomorrow, that's what they'll say, spreading hate. Folks, we're there to spread the love. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to win the lost. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And you know what? We love those people. And in fact, I especially love the lost people who live in San Francisco because they have to live in San Francisco. And then go to hell when they die. You know what I mean? It's like, look, you think normal people like living around a bunch of perverts? You know what I mean? People live there. There are people who live there for all kinds of reasons. And you know what? I love those people. I have compassion on them. Amen. You know, and I guarantee you, you know, once we get down there and we're physically down there and we knock that door and that door opens, you know what? There are going to be a lot of people. We're going to be like Jesus, where we beholding them, love them. Amen. The door opens and we love them. We have compassion on them. And you know why we want them to be saved? Because we love them. We're already saved. You know what? We could just cancel this whole event and just hang out in Sacramento tomorrow and just have a cool day in Sacramento. We'd go down to the river, we'd go to Old Sac, and just enjoy the city. To hell with San Francisco. Whose idea was this? I don't want to drive 2 hours each way, and it's like, it's too weird down there. You know, folks, why are we doing it? Because we love the people. Amen. All right, so don't misunderstand us. Don't accuse us of what the world accuses. They wouldn't know love if it hit them in the face, because this is love that we walk after his commandments. The love of God is something that they don't understand, because everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. And so we love the people down there. We want to get people saved. We have compassion, right? Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We're going to do both tomorrow. Some people we're going to win to Christ with gentleness, compassion, and love. And then some people we're going to be warning them of hell. I mean, we're going to bring that up to everybody. But I'm saying, what is it that's going to get through? Some people, it's going to be the tear in the eye, the love in our heart that wins them to Christ. Preaching a compassionate gospel. Other people, it's when we show them all liars are going to hell and they know they've been lying and doing everything else and they're going to get saved with fear. But you know what? It's love that motivates us. It's love that constrains us. We want to pull them out of the fire. Look, the majority in San Francisco is doomed. There's no question about that. Okay, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We get that. We're not going down there with an illusion. Yeah, we're going to turn San Francisco around into this conservative paradise of traditional. It's going to be a new Bible Belt. That's not our goal. We're not. That's a crazy goal. So when we say, hey, we want to save San Francisco from doom, we want the city to be spared, here's what we mean by that. What we mean by that is that we're going to pluck some people out of the fire. Right? We're going to pluck some of those firebrands out of the fire. We're going to pull some people out of the fire. And here's what we mean. We're going to get enough righteous people where God will spare the city. Because look, God does not have to have a majority of saved people before he'll spare a city. He didn't say, hey, if 51% of the people in Sodom are righteous, I won't destroy it. Now, we don't know how many people were in Sodom, but we're assuming it's hundreds and hundreds of people. Maybe even thousands and thousands of people. We don't know. The Bible, I don't think, really gives us any indication of that. But if I had to guess, I would say it's probably a few thousand people. We don't know. There's really no way to prove it one way or the other. But I will say this. He's only looking for 10 to spare the city. No matter what number you would guess for the population of Sodom, it's a small percentage that's needed to spare it. Okay. And if you think about it, the Bible likens this to salt, right? We're the salt of the earth. The saved people, the righteous people, we're the salt. Salt is a preservative. You know, you salt something in order to preserve it. How much salt does it really take to preserve something? Is it 51% salt and 49% the product that you're salting? No, it isn't, is it? It's just a little salt can go a long way. You got a little salt shaker. You're not just like spooning salt, you know. And here's the thing about this. We just need to win enough people to Christ in San Francisco to where there's salt and light and where God looks down and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to let this city continue to exist, and I'm going to withhold some of my judgment and some of my wrath and some of my punishments, and maybe allow some of the feces and hypodermic needles to be cleaned up a little bit, because there are some people there that are winning people to Christ, and you know, he wants to let that work go forward. Why? Because God is just as compassionate as we are. In fact, he's about 100 times more compassionate than me and Pastor Mejia and Pastor Jimenez put together, because God is love, and all of our love came from him. He's even more loving than we are. I mean, look, he wants people to be saved in San Francisco more than we do. We love them. He loves them more. Okay. And so the majority is doomed, but there are still many individuals that can be reached. And if we reach enough of them, the city can be spared. That's the game plan. Okay. This marathon's only the beginning, folks. If you think this is just a one-off deal, hey, we made a movie about San Francisco. Hey, let's go do an event there. Wouldn't it be cool to do some soul winning in San Francisco? All right, cool. We did it. Done. No, my friend. Let me tell you something. We need a church to be established in the Bay Area. In fact, I'd like to see two churches established in the Bay Area. One on the south of the Bay Area and one on the northeast of the Bay Area. We need two red-hot, soul-winning, independent, fundamental Baptist churches in the Bay Area, reaching that place, not only with the gospel, but also teaching them to observe all things that Christ commanded. Amen. We need a full commission Baptist church down there that's going to win people to Christ and raise hell down there and preach hard. Amen? Amen. Why? And look, are you still there in Amos? Amos chapter 4, verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. This is what I mean. Look, I've already made your camp stink. I've already started to punish you, and because I will do this unto you, verse 12, O San Francisco, because I will do this unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, San Francisco. That's what we need, thundering from pulpits down there. And I know Pastor Jimenez has the same vision. I know Pastor Mejia has the same vision of planting churches in California. And so look, this is just basically an opening salvo, right? This is just the first round in San Francisco. Going down there, you know, you got to start somewhere, amen? Hey, tomorrow is the beginning of something. Amen. We knock a bunch of doors, we win a bunch of people to Christ, but you know, God willing, a few years from now, you're going to be hearing about churches being planted, churches growing, churches thriving. Hey, I want to see every single door knocked in San Francisco, not just the few doors that we're going to knock tomorrow. Hey, I want to see the whole Bay Area lit up with the gospel. Amen? Amen? Tomorrow is the beginning. And you know what? The devil, he might think that he's just got San Francisco in the bag. You know, I wonder if the devil just pulled all of his demons out of San Francisco because he's like, this place doesn't even need my help to go down the toilet. This place is a toilet. And he's just thinking, like, I don't even need to deploy my demons over here. You know, let's bring the demons up to Sacramento and mess with Pastor Jimenez for a while. You know, let's bring the demons to L.A. And, you know, he's just thinking, San Francisco is my turf. It's, you know, put a fork in it, it's done. But let me tell you something. I believe that God has other plans for San Francisco. I believe that God has other plans and that a great work is going to be done there to call out a righteous remnant for his name's sake. And so I'm not giving up on California, as some people are giving up on the whole state of California. You know, you travel around this country and you hear people, they're like, well, you know, I'd love to go to Pastor Jimenez's church, but it's just California. You know, it's like they're just like, we gotta, or even people who live here are like, we gotta get out of California. You know, we gotta get out. But here's the thing about that though, you know, don't give up on California yet. You know, this is my home state. This is my hometown. And let me tell you something. I believe God's got big plans for California. And even the Bay Area, Hell's Kitchen, you could call it, right? Hell's Kitchen Baptist Church. That's what you could name the thing. You know, if you start a church in the Bay Area, right? Hell's Kitchen Baptist Church. You know what? Hey, you say it's a pipe dream, it'll never happen. I believe it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be called that, but I think it could happen. Amen? I think it could exist. You know what? Tomorrow, it's on tomorrow. Amen. Amen? Hey, we're going to go down there. We're in the Lord's army. We're going to be on the front lines tomorrow. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go down there and we're going to fight a spiritual battle and we will win. I already know that we've won. God, I said, how do you know that? Because God always gives us the victory. God always, always gives us the victory. That's what the Bible says. We're more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hashtag winning. Amen. All the time. All right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the chance to be in your house tonight, Lord. And thank you for people who've traveled here, Lord. I really appreciate the people who've come up from Phoenix. And a huge group that drove that grueling drive all the way from Phoenix, Lord. I appreciate them and I'm thankful for them. And Lord, people that drove all the way up from L.A., people that are here from Canada, Toronto, Canada, British Columbia, Canada, people from Central California, all over the place, Lord. Thank you for assembling this group, Lord. You've assembled a dream team here, Lord. And I just pray that you'd fill us with your spirit as we go. Guide us and direct us, Lord, because we're not looking for just everybody. We're just looking for that one person, Lord, tomorrow that you'll lead us to. Lead us to that one person that wants to hear the gospel. Lead us to that one person tomorrow that not only will get saved, but hopefully can be used in a future church or a future soul winning. Lord, another person to salt and light that city by the bay. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen.